What are some of your other tips for having more professional looking results with Christmas decor for the average person who isn't a designer?
Have boundaries. At this point in history, there's so many options. Immerse yourself in the look of these different styles and then commit to it. I mean, that's my number one advice, is don't do it all. Mm-hmm. In fact, even what you own, you have my permission, do not pull everything out of those bins and use everything. Like, I always leave some things alone. If I leave them for too many years, I get rid of them.
Yeah.
But you're not going to use everything every year.
My name is Lisa, mother of 8 and creator of the blog and YouTube channel Farmhouse on Boone. Join me as I share with you my love for creating a handmade home from scratch cooking and a little mom and entrepreneur life along the way.
All right, welcome back to the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. Today I'm having on Sarah from She Holds Dearly. She's a repeat guest on here. She has so much design advice, but for a practical homemaker, simple living, homestead, people like a lot of you here in the Simple Farmhouse Life viewership or listenership, wherever you're getting this information. She has a lot of practical wisdom for what you're probably going to be doing this week, which is decorating for Christmas. So join us for this Christmas episode. Sarah, so excited to have you back on. For the listeners, Sarah has been on this podcast before. If you haven't heard that episode, when was that? Was that like a year ago, 2 years ago? I don't even know at this point.
Maybe
I
think it 3 years ago.
Was it? Oh, I mean, well, okay. It can't quite. Well, no. Oh my word. I almost said I haven't had a podcast for 3 years, but that is not true. I started it in January of 2020. So actually it's been almost 4 years. So could have been 3 years ago. That's crazy. And I think last time I had you on, I don't know if it was Christmas decor. I know we talked decor, but I'm not 100% sure if it was Christmas.
It wasn't Christmas. No, it was okay. I think we were talking about how to find your style.
Yes. And I was having a living room conundrum, and it's all changed since then. So I feel like I have been able in the last 3 years to hone in on that. So a lot of what you gave advice wise was great. So if you guys want to go back 3 years ish ago on the podcast and search Sarah Phillips or She Holds Dearly, go find that, because that was a great episode, I'm sure.
Thank you.
Okay. So Sarah and I, we meet up like once every year with other bloggers. And this year, Sarah had to miss, unfortunately, because I think you had just come back from your design retreat. Tell mm-hmm. us a little bit about that. I never mm-hmm. even caught up with you on this.
Yeah, I know. I was hoping we would catch up on our annual meetup, but I've dabbled a little bit in design retreats the last couple of years, but this one was my third one, and it was by far the biggest. We met okay. in Virginia at the Mayhurst Estate, which is
so
incredible
cool.
mansion, you know, from the 1800s. And I mean, James Madison's family built it, President James Madison's, you know, so it's just, it was like going to heaven for 4 days. And then we had 35 women come, and we had classes and hands-on workshops and just beautiful food and shopping. And it was such a bucket list type of event. And we're getting ready to actually open the tickets again in the next week, so people can get a hold of them for Christmas if they want. Ooh. But it was one of a kind. They say it was like renting a French chateau, but in the US, US
yeah.
version of it.
Well, I've seen pictures and I could see what you're saying, because it's absolutely stunning. So what are the months or what are the dates for next time?
We are looking at the third week of September, and it's a Monday through Thursday okay. night event. So I don't have those numbers off the top of my head yet, but you can check the calendar. But it's called Bespoke Design Retreat. And there will only be 35 tickets. So
that sounds awesome.
We thought about expanding, like, okay. we could make this like 200 people, but that's a whole mm-hmm. different feel. That's
yeah,
a convention.
Yeah.
And you really miss the intimacy of that. Like, we were able to stay as a group. We didn't have to break mm-hmm. into small groups. And I mean, after 4 days, you've got
right.
lifelong friends.
Yeah.
So we're going to keep it small and keep it unique mm-hmm. in that way.
Yeah. That sounds amazing. That sounds yeah. like a dream 4 days. Like, if I could, as a mom, come up with something that sounded, you yeah. know, like the ideal situation, a 1800s home, or was it even a 18th century? I forget what you said.
It was built in 1850s. So it was part of actually the Civil War. At one point they had 10,000 soldiers camp out on that property.
Wow.
And so they have all kinds of relics and things from that event. So tons of history, like all the big name generals stayed there. Like you can stay in the rooms that they were in. And
mm-hmm. That sounds so cool.
Intense.
Yeah. I bet that was, especially being the leader of it. I can't imagine that. Like, it sounds so fun either way, but it definitely sounds more relaxing as somebody who would just be attending.
Yes, I definitely think it was like a destination wedding. That's what it felt like. Like, I mean, we shipped 30 boxes, 30 boxes of supplies and decorations and prizes. There was gifts. We had sponsors. Sherwin Williams was one of our sponsors, and Milieu Magazine, some big names. And yeah, even looking ahead for take two for this next year, I'm thinking it's going to be so much easier just knowing where all the outlets are in the house, you know, and how many people you can fit on the veranda and what we're going to do if it rains. And I love Casey and Jason are the owners of the house, and just, we totally connected with their kids and their pets and everything. And so just knowing that I know what I'm doing this time feels really good. Uh-huh. It's going to be better.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's gotta be some kinks to work out. That's
better for me,
you know, part of every process. Okay. So this is a quick turnaround episode. A lot of times we'll record ahead, but this one is coming out like very shortly after we record this, because as you can tell from behind me, it is the Christmas season and people are getting ready to start decorating as it's, you know, Thanksgiving this coming week when this comes out. So I have a lot of questions to ask you about that. I've had a few frustrations already this year with Christmas decor, and that's what we're going to talk about. Okay. So first of all, have you started decorating?
Oh yeah. Yes.
I'm sure you have.
Well, I kind of, and part of it's because of my job, right? So take this all with a grain of salt, but I'm an interior designer and I teach people how to do things themselves. That's my passion beyond even interior design, as I'm a teacher. And so I want to break it down too. So I like to look at the trends and then figure out how to hack the trends and make them ourselves, you know? So I'm always thinking, I mean, I'm always penning on Pinterest. I'm always looking when I'm thrifting for a holiday decor. And then by August, I'm sitting down and mapping out every room in my house and what do I need to buy and what do I need to research. And
oh, wow.
And then orders come in, and by October, I'm full blown making things. This year, just on a whim, I was like doing an Instagram story and I said, hey, who wants to like join me kind of behind the scenes with all the stuff I'm making? Cause I make about 25 things. And I said, just send me your email and it'll be real casual. And I call it Handmade Holidays. And I've been emailing and it's going to be 6 weeks, kind of like a Christmas countdown, you know, so you pace yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's so fun.
You know, it doesn't feel expensive or like overwhelming and you're crying and not enjoying December. So we're going to be done by beginning of December, and it's all handmade. And it has been an overwhelming response. The amount of people that have signed up for these emails has been so fun. So I feel like I'm understanding the audience even a little bit better. Like, oh, this really helps them. They really want to know, even though it's early and you get pushback for that. I think at least, Lisa, with your crowd and my crowd, they really do want to know early. They might not set it up till December, but they kind of want some help with this. So it's a great topic. I was so excited when you told me we were talking about this.
Well, yeah, I think one, the handmade aspect, you have to start early or you're not going to have your Christmas decor up in time for Christmas or long enough to enjoy it. I personally love the way Christmas decor looks in my home. And so I want to enjoy it longer. And usually I will leave it up well beyond Christmas just because everything feels kind of bare because the leaves are bare outside or the trees are bare. Everything looks really dead and ugly. And so that is why I do Christmas decor. Some people might think like, well, this is just an added job. And you know, if that's how you feel, then, you know, maybe this isn't like all, you don't have to do any of this, but if that's, you know, if you want to make it all, yeah, it's going to take some planning. So what have you started working on, or what are some of the handmade items that you're referring to?
Yeah. So I always start with the porch. I released that on Saturday, and it's by already one of the most popular videos I've ever put on YouTube.
On your YouTube?
Yeah. And so I always get the porch done. I always did that before I was doing this as a job because it's fun for my family. They leave for school and work. Mm-hmm. And it's old and it's pumpkins. And then they come home and they walk through lanterns and greenery and they just really love it. It's always a big day as our family when they walk in. And then as far as what I'm making, I haven't actually set anything up inside my house. The next is I'm going to do our room because I think it's really cozy to have the flannel sheets and the light, you know, the extra lights. And I like to do a tree in our room. And so I do that next for the same reason that you're doing it, just for the enjoyment of it and the cozy aspect. And then I'll do the main living spaces in the kitchen and stuff. But I'm doing a lot of remaking what I have already. So changing the colors. I mean, that's the easiest thing is you're going to change colors. I'm making a lot of handmade ornaments this year. I feel like ornaments had their disappearance. Like we went really Swedish and minimal for a while there with nothing on the trees, no lights or anything. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of nice, but now it's back with like, there's the velvet ornaments and there's the, amber ornaments and there's like the honeycomb, like origami looking ornaments. And so I'm doing all of those, getting some baking done and in the freezer that I can hand out to neighbors and friends I like to have all that done by December 1st. So then, and it all set up as well. And then December is just about my family. So their gifts and our events and enjoying the movies and my work is a lot of it is really done.
Okay. Yeah.
By then.
Yeah. So, okay, let's start with the ornaments. What type of ornaments are, you know, you said you were sending out some of these emails. What kind of projects are you working on so far?
Well, I'm showing people how to do stockings and wreaths and pillows. What else? I'm like looking around. Okay. They're all like sitting near me, but lots of garlands.
Yeah. Yeah. I have behind me, these are Cammie's linen stockings. So when we went out to her house, she gave us one and I got on her website and ordered three more. Cause I'm like, awesome. Those are beautiful. They look so pretty. And obviously you could hand make them as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So for the garlands, are you doing like fresh garlands?
Okay. So I feel like there's lots of cute things you can do with paper. I sent out a lot of printables this season for people like making, I wish I had some closer to me. I would show you like these little ballerinas that, you know, like paper doll, like string together. We did popcorn, garland, and I think actually this is something that I see a lot of is people buy their garland and then they just put it up that's done. But I want to actually challenge people to treat their garland a little different and use it as a base. So you can get, you know, an expensive garland at Joann's or something and it looks fake, but it's valuable because you can fluff it up and then you just stick, you know, different types of greenery into it and you can use it as this base. And I like to do that for wreaths as well. Mm-hmm. And so you actually, if you look at my porch design this year, I took, do you know what salal is? Do you have salal where you live?
No, I'm not sure.
It's sort of like laurel leaves.
Okay.
But florists love it. And so I had made a really big garland with it all down my banister last year. And it dries really nice, but it is dried. And I kind of like the fresh. I prefer the fresh. So I was cleaning up last year and I thought, no, I'm just going to keep it even though it's dried. And I'm so glad I did because now it's like a bower over our front door. And asymmetry is very trendy this season and maybe for a couple more years. But so using your garlands asymmetrical on your doorways, on your mantles, and then building them out really big and wild. It feels very European and English. And so I took things from my yard and just tucked them into that salal garland and just built it out really bushy and textured and kind of wild and crazy. And it has a real fairy feel to it now. So that's what I would encourage people to do is bring in like three more different textures, different size leaves. It doesn't even have to be evergreens. It can be, you know, little like boxwood size leaves, you know, and mm-hmm. and yeah. tuck those in yeah. and just alternate them. I just go on the outside of the garland and it's like Velcro. You don't wire it or anything. You just stick the stem in.
Yeah.
And I do one, you know, the right side and then the left side and the right side and left side and then a couple in the middle. And then I come back in with the second type and I like a lot of texture, like holly has a lot of texture. And then I like an evergreen. So cedar it is an evergreen, but it's real limp, you know, it lays real flat. So I put that mm-hmm. in first. So it's like a backdrop. And then you always want to add something super twiggy and crazy
yeah.
at the very end. And it totally transforms whatever cheapo thrifted garland you have. You change it every year. You change your color ribbon, add bells. No, and so don't throw out those cheap garlands and wreaths. They're really valuable as a base. They save you so much time.
I hadn't really thought about that because, like you said, I typically think of it as here's the garland. It's not very full looking. Therefore, I need like a better garland. But you're saying take a garland that's really cheap or whatever, just, you know, like they have just like the one kind of green fake garland. And yeah. then go outside, find whatever you can find, like maybe pine cones or ribbons, not outside, obviously, different kinds of greens and just fluff up a garland that you already have. And then mm-hmm. whenever the season is done, just put away that cheap garland and then do the same thing next year, maybe a little bit different. But do you ever get like faux little bits of, what do you call those? Like a little spray or sprig or whatever of things?
Yeah, sprig. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do. I especially like those inside. I mean, everything on my porch is fresh and I think it will be fine for the next couple months because it's so cold here. Now, if you're in California, that's going to be a different story. But as far as fresh greenery in the house, and we heat with a wood stove. And so, you know, our staircase is right along that wood stove and anything I put on the banister just gets fried. A lot of designers just know that they're going to buy two sets of greenery if it's fresh.
And throughout the season, like in one year?
Yeah, so you do the...
Oh, that's like such a job.
It's a job. And so you might just want to go simple, cedar is the most classic one. And so then 2 days before Christmas, they switch out for fresh greenery. But that's probably not feasible for everybody. So that is when I would do the faux look. And I feel like faux has, some people still will crab about it and say like, you know, don't use that, it's so cheap, but it's all about getting all the extra textures in there and variety. And then I don't think it has to look cheap.
Yeah. This year I took my faux and that I normally put up my banister that I kind of like drape up the banister. And I put a few ornaments and bows to kind of make it a little bit more special. But I will say the faux that I have mm-hmm. was already a nice one. I purchased it like 3 years ago from A Floral. And so it was already like good stuff that looks real. But I like the idea. And it's not this behind me. This behind me is just like, I think it's Magnolia a few years back. And I like that it has a nice mix. But I will say what you're saying is a lot of people kind of skimp on their greenery and doesn't make it look very good. I have found that to be the case too with a lot of things with Christmas. I have found that I also really skimped on lights on my tree. I learned a new trick this year on how to actually put lights on it. I don't know why I never knew this.
Well, what's your trick?
Well, it's not really a trick. It was just, I just literally Googled, how are you supposed to put lights on a tree? Because I noticed that all of the pre-lit trees, they have such a beautiful glow and mine just kind of looks like not that great. And so apparently they wrap each individual branch, like each individual faux branch, they wrap with lights. And so I did that this year. And instead of 300 lights, like I usually have like three strands, just wrap it around, you know, this year I had like 1200 lights and it looks a lot better.
That's amazing. Yeah. Great tip. I can see that. I am not.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you have a pre-lit tree?
No, okay. I don't buy pre-lit and I have about 7 trees.
Oh, that's right. You don't have a tree.
Before.
Yeah.
I try to get one every year and after the season. So that's actually a tip is
yeah.
always, and I know everyone's tired after Christmas and they don't want to buy any more Christmas decorations.
Yeah. That always seems like so just like, it's almost like Christmas isn't going to happen again. Like it'll never be next Christmas. Are you kidding me? But then it does, it rolls around again and
You could have had a cheap treat.
Yes. And so I always check the week after. I just like dig deep and go for more Christmas decorations. And I mean, hit IKEA, you can get stuff for $1 and Joann's and Hobby Lobby. And they don't want to store it all year. So you're going to store it all year.
Right. Yeah.
But that's, so I always try to put a little bit more money into maybe another $100 into it after Christmas. And just be surprised the next year when I pull it out. But you asked me about pre-lit trees. I find that they kind of burn me because then the lights go out.
That's what I've heard.
One strand will go out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I just don't even go that route. And also they're way more expensive with lights.
Right.
So I purposely buy them without lights and just do them myself.
Okay.
Or not. Yeah. Sometimes I don't do it.
All right, taking a quick break from this episode to tell you about my brand new course, Simple Sourdough. This one has been a long time coming. I have shared about sourdough over on my blog and my YouTube channel forever, but I finally compiled all of the information that you need to be successful with sourdough, the starter, making your first ever loaves of bread, using the discard, so many things in my course, Simple Sourdough. You can find it at bit.ly/farmhouse sourdough course. That's all one word, bit.ly/farmhouse sourdough course. The coolest thing about the new Simple Sourdough course is that there's a corresponding private Facebook group that is for students only. I'm really excited that that'll be a place where when you have specific questions, there'll be other students in there, sourdough enthusiasts, and we can all learn from each other. This is usually such a valuable asset because a lot of times you'll have a specific question that you don't want to filter back through the course for. It's all there, but sometimes you just want other people who are on the same journey as you. And I'm really excited to provide that course, which just the lifetime membership comes with the purchase of the Simple Sourdough course. Again, you can find that at bit.ly/farmhouse sourdough course.
Okay, so what are some of, you kind of mentioned like bulking up the greenery, because whenever it's really sparse and cheap, it looks bad, but then you can take something cheap, make it look more professional. What are some of your other tips for having more professional looking results with Christmas decor for the average person who isn't a designer?
Yeah. Yeah. So I just actually taught a class on this. I have an interior design group that I work with each week. And so last Thursday, I just spoke on this for an hour. So it's really fresh in my mind. And the number one thing I would say is have boundaries. I love Christmas because it's the perfect opportunity for women that want to get better at decorating. It's just a candy land, you know, of a candy store of wonderful textures and colors, and you have all this permission to work on it. And so it's a really great opportunity to grow as a designer. But the problem is at this point in history, there's so many options. Mm-hmm. And they don't all go together. I mean, for that class I just taught, I did some little, you know, research and development running around town. And I went to like 12 of the main stores, the retail stores that people go to. So the Target, you know, Walmart, Joann's,
Hobby Lobby,
Home Goods, I hit all of them and just checked out what's going on this year and decided who was looking too cheap or, you know, mm-hmm. where I would yeah. not go, but, and where I would go. And one thing that was really unique about Michael's this year, and maybe in years past, but I really noticed it this year, was that it's very divided into styles, like one aisle for the cabiny plaid look, one aisle for the navy and silver, one aisle for the French, you know, red and white kitchen gingerbread look. And I thought this is a great experience for someone who needs to learn what they love to go to Michael's. I mean, at least in my area, that's the way it's organized, and just immerse yourself in the look of these different styles and then commit to it. I mean, that's my number one advice, is don't do it all. Mm-hmm. In fact, even what you own, you have my permission to not pull everything out of those bins and use everything. Like, I always leave some things alone. If I leave them for too many years, I get rid of them.
Yeah.
But you're not going to use everything every year. And it's not just about putting one thing I feel like that hurts us too, besides accepting all of the styles in our house each year, is doing things that don't come from maybe a certain era or maybe a certain country. And
yeah,
I told my girls in class, I said, think like a movie set designer. You are going to recreate Christmas in a certain time period or a certain country that's believable, that actors could actually walk into this space and do a whole Christmas scene in, instead of, you know, like putting up signs that just say like Merry Christmas, like with the snowman or whatever, like create an entire world that's Christmassy, that, and that's believable. And I feel like that will take your design to a really professional level.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Are there any other big mistakes you see people making? Like you said, not editing, kind of throwing everything in. Are there any other like major ones that stand out?
Yeah, I'm going to say one more for sure. And this, I feel like, really hits us as DIYers and thrifters, that we get so into getting the deal sometimes that we forget that it needs to look like it wasn't a deal.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't want it to look like it costs $3. You want it to look like it costs $40 or $50 at least. And so what we need to do is keep our minds open and our just our teachable spirit about us to stay exposed to really high-end decorating. So that's, you know, and I mean, social media is great for that, but actually going into the high-end stores, and, you know, there's a Seattle Design Center near me, and sometimes I just go in there and I just look at really incredible fabric and furniture and artwork that costs $25,000. And, you know, I know that I don't plan on buying those things, but I just still want to understand what it is that makes it so incredible to some people. So just understanding the colors and the textures and the lighting, and I'm not like turning up my nose at that group because, oh, they're so wasteful. I really like feel like we need to do both, is learn from really excellent design. And, you know, like I love the Ballard Designs podcast because they bring on, I think some of the world's best designers come on there and they talk, and you just even learn like how to pronounce words that you didn't know how to pronounce in design, and, you know, different types of dishes and fabrics and styles of furniture, and all of that you take with you, and then you learn how to make it yourself. Mm-hmm, and maybe you're doing the reappraisal yourself, but you understand that it's this style of arm and this style of, you know, trim on the chair that makes it look high end, and you spent 10% or less, you know. So just, I mean, and that's more than Christmas. That's just as designers,
general design,
and homemakers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, keep open to really beautiful, excellent design, and then recreate it yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can only do that if you've refined your taste a bit to even learn what that is. I agree with you. I've been doing that attempting to do that for the last 16 years. I can see progress. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. That's good, Lisa. And you know, sometimes people, you know, we get a lot of flack on social media and stuff, but it always, the one that always kind of makes me laugh is when people say like, you're not a real designer. You should have known how to pronounce that French name of that lamp, you know? And I just think that is just silly. We need to be learning every day. Like that little girl in us that feels like she's in kindergarten with her lunchbox on the first day of school. That little girl is our friend. She helps us grow. And we should always be in a state of getting better. Like every year, I feel like my design gets purer and I understand it better, and it's just easier for me. But it's something that I've wrestled with my whole life, getting better at understanding. And then I think, you know, we mature, our lives, the needs within our home change, and we just are always learning as decorators. And that's a fun thing. It's not something to criticize in each other.
Yeah. And if you love design, that it will be fun and it will come natural. I think about that when I go to thrift shops or antique shops, the things that I used to bring home. And then now after having gone hundreds of times, I know what's common. Mm-hmm. I know what things I can pass up because I'm going to see it again like a million more times, or maybe doesn't belong at my home at all. Mm-hmm. Just after experiencing secondhand stores, the amount of times that I have, I know my way around the items.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about like the overwhelming process of this and how you actually organize your Christmas decor process, maybe the items themselves or actually getting them into your home. I have to tell a little story. So on Saturday, it was actually my birthday. So it was opening day of deer season, which means that like all the guys go hunting. And then I was home with my kids. And then my sister asked if my daughters wanted to go out for lunch. And I had already asked them to bring all of the Christmas decor bins up from the basement. I don't usually do it that way. Normally I like bring up maybe like one thing at a time. So I might do like the shelves in the kitchen, and then I might do the mantle, then the Christmas tree, and I just bring it up one at a time. Well, so we'd already gotten everything out. I was also going to be having a Friendsgiving that night, so I needed to make a turkey, some stuffing.
Oh gosh, Lisa.
Yeah, it turned so bad. It was all my fault. All my fault. I told myself this was your fault, because it was. So I should have first just told the girls, like, or told my sister no, they don't want to go to lunch, but I didn't. I said yes. And then I had all this decor. I was home with six boys by myself under the age of 10. There was glass everywhere. There was ornament hangers everywhere. I was just standing in the middle of it like, I don't even know what I'm going to do. Like, I don't even know what I'm going to do right now. So anyways, I packed everything back in the bins and took it all back down to the basement. I have never felt so overwhelmed with Christmas in my entire life. Like I found myself home with six boys, a thawed out turkey on the counter, glass, and I was just like, I don't even know which way to turn. Now that obviously was a recipe for disaster, you know? So for people who are approaching this in a more non-chaotic way, how would you recommend not being chaotic?
Yes. Oh gosh. I think pulling all the bins out and letting the kids attack the bins is the worst thing you can do.
Yes. Well, and my husband wasn't home. That was mistake number one. Like, don't get all the bins out anyways, but especially if you're home with excited kids. Because my kids, you know, they get excited about this. They're like, Christmas decor is going up. This is awesome.
And then they do it all themselves and you just undo it.
Yes.
One thing with kids is like, give them their own space. It's all about boundaries with Christmas decorating. So, you know, give them their own tree that they can do whatever they want with. And so you're not having to like redo things. It's hard on them and it's hard on you.
Yeah.
But I always check my Pinterest board. I have a whole Christmas Pinterest board that I'm feeding all year. And so I just sit down and I do it in August, but I would say I'm probably a month ahead of the normal need.
Yeah.
Because I have to get work out there for people to get inspired by an order and everything. So always anytime my timeline, take it a month
right
off.
Right.
Like you can do it a month later. So in September you pull up that Pinterest board and look at the new ideas that you have penned. And I just start writing. I go room by room. So always the porch is the first thing. And I have I have a clipboard that has like pages of, and each room has its own page.
Oh, wow.
So you're I want to think about what I'm going to do on the porch, and I think about what I'm going to do in my room. And then it's living room. We have a fireside room, which is, you know, with our wood stove and the banister. And then what do I want to do in the kitchen? And then if you have the extra capacity, which I had for many years, did not. I mean, there was one year we were all sick. I just put up a fake tree and everybody laid, and I put it up in my room, and then everybody laid in our bed and opened our presents. And that was all the bandwidth I had that year.
Yeah.
So if that's new, like, God bless you. That works too. But yeah, you might want to do something in the hallway, you know, like put candles in windows, something in the bathroom. So I really prioritize the spaces. That's number one. And then get on Pinterest. Look at your new ideas also. And this is really a game changer. My Christmas bins are extremely organized. So after Christmas, if you haven't already done this, I recommend it. You know, take all your stuff down, make the big pile, go through, get rid of the stuff that's broken or things that don't really spark joy for you anymore. And whatever's left, start grouping it. So I have 9 bins of Christmas decorations.
Oh my word.
And I probably could get more.
Yeah.
But so far that's been enough. And number one is all the ornaments. Number two is greenery, all my sprigs, all my garlands.
So this all starts last year when you put it away. Cause that's another thing is I guess when I put it away, I'm just as frazzled as I was the day I put it out.
Yes.
And so I put it out, not thinking about next year, Lisa, who has to then deal with what I have done with the way I put it.
I have to plan just a whole day. And sometimes it takes me months to get to it. You know, it's all piled out in our shop or something. And it takes me at least all afternoon to sort it all. And I try to do it real peacefully, like really think about what I'm keeping. And then, so you make your piles like sections in a store, right? So then, all the dishes, all the pillow covers, all the ornaments, all the wreaths, and then each one goes in the bin. And I have an inventory on my computer. So I can go find
you are so organized.
The ribbons or the pine cones. I had to, like, it was breaking me. So I have that. I've got that and I've got Pinterest. And I marry those things. I'm looking at both of them back and forth, deciding what am I gonna pull from those bins. And I don't pull everything, but you know, where's the nativity set and where are those crocheted stockings that we love? And so I don't dump the bins. I just pick out of them like it's aisles in stores and then get my new ideas from Pinterest. I always do Christmas a little bit different every year just for the joy of it and the practice of it. And even before I was being watched, you know, and advising people online about what the new look is, I did that before just for fun for the family.
Yeah.
So then I map it all out on paper. And then figure out what I need to order, figure out what I need to make. And I mean, in my room right now, it looks like a little storehouse, like, and it keeps every day like building a little bit more and orders are coming in. And then, I mean, I already did the porch, but the next is my room. I'm going to do a William Morris style bedroom, Christmas William Morris. And he's one of my favorite designers. And so I have that page, one page, and I look at it and I've like sketched out things and I know I have all the pieces. And then I mean, actually putting it together is the easy part at that point. I put so much time into planning and having everything together.
Right,
so maybe
right.
That's not helpful. you could do like a mini version of that.
Well, no, it's helpful that you plan it before bringing it up. So then it's not, cause I never do, like, I bring stuff up and I'm like, what am I going for this year?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, guess we'll get this out. And so I don't have a thought about that before it comes up. And so I think then maybe you wouldn't bring as much up or you would not have to fuss with like I'll move things around, kind of look at it this way, that way versus like knowing what I'm going to do. And that, if you map it out first, you can just kind of implement it. I mean, I work like that with my business. I don't just think, what am I going to do this week? Like it's all mapped out. I know just what to do so that when I have a couple hours, which is, you know, every afternoon when the 2-year-old's napping, he's on my lap. Of course, I just carry him around, but I know just what to do during these few hours that I have versus having to think through in the, like during my valuable time, think through it would be a waste of time.
Oh, it's so time consuming. Designing is so incredibly time consuming. So everything that you can do on paper, or, you know, on Pinterest is so helpful. And and you know, it never exactly translates the way I want it to in 3D, but it does help. And another thing that helps, so let's just take like my room, for example. So, you know, the room, it's, you know, it's, you're zoning everything. So I'm just focusing on my room this week, setting it up. And so I know that I really want the bedding to be changed out and I want it to be super cozy. And I'm committing to specific colors and metals. I'm not just doing everything. I know that I'm doing like a blues and golds in this room, very William Morris. And I know that I would like a tree because I feel like the lights are super dreamy. You know, you can leave your tree on all night and that's just cozy. I actually have a fireplace in my room. And so I've thought about the garlands and the candles. And as far as mantles, you're pretty much like no-brainer formula is like Christmas art, stockings, garlands, candles. And so
that's what I got.
And then I have a chandelier that hangs over my bed. So I'll also put some greenery in that. And then I'm done. So I've really only done like the tree and the mantle and then the bed and the chandelier. And it's done.
Yeah.
So focus within the room on like the tabletop, the mantle, the door. And you don't have to do everything. It goes a long way. It's like, I heard an analogy recently, like, and it wasn't about Christmas decorating, but it does work. It's like you're making maple syrup. So if you've ever actually done that, you know how much water comes out, and then you have to boil it down to get to the good stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're doing with your Christmas interior design, is boiling it way down and just using the very best and adding these little sparks. And, you know, it can be really simple. I love how like greenery or even a ribbon or something can just add these little sprinkles in your house. So just get a little greenery sprig and put it on top of a piece of art. Ooh, or hang it from a wall sconce.
I want to do that.
No, and that's enough. It can be enough.
Do you swap out any of your art, like any of the frames, with something like a Christmas print?
Oh yeah. I think that's a great idea. I think people should do more of that. I even will switch out rugs, definitely pillow covers. Mm-hmm. So when I'm out thrifting, I am looking for dishes. I really love oil paintings of snowy scenes.
Okay.
So you can switch out even just one painting, you know, switch that out. I love really vintage looking in little like tinsel trees or books, get linen covered books in red and green, candlestick holders, brass, you know, different heights. Candlestick holders are really good. And there's a lot of Christmas decorating that's so sweet and not contrived or plastic or, you know, I mean, do a little gingerbread house village on cake plates, you know, there's just so many classic sweet things that you can make, or string popcorn. It's so easy. And in my design group is called Behind the Scenes, and we do a lot of shopping together. We have a Bible study. We become really, really good friends. And then I teach interior design as well. But one thing I just started this last week was, I did it on Saturday, is we did a movie night. And so we watched Little Women as a group and had our chat going. Like Amazon has chat parties or like watch party. It's called watch party. And so we all met at 5 o'clock. You know, Pacific Standard Time, and we all had tea and popcorn, and it was so fun. And we watched Little Women, and we were studying the interior design in that movie. But I didn't plan this, but it worked out that there was a lot of Christmas scenes in Little Women, and so we were really just focusing on how you do classic Christmas design. And so much of it is, you know, a simple cedar garland with a bow and extra candles.
Yeah, the lighting.
It can just be so sweet. And I feel like we kind of need to get back to that. We need to be careful with how far we take it and pay attention to like how we're doing with it. You know, like, are people like tripping on it? Are you feeling anxiety about it because there's too many things? Is it just getting dirty? And like, we're missing the point at that point, at that level. Mm-hmm. So keep an eye on like how your spirit's doing. Like, have you lost the peace and the joy that, and you're just yelling at your kids cause they screwed up the Christmas tree again, you know, like that's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
we have to watch that.
That brings up that in past years, I have always, like probably for the last 5 or 6 years, I have done ribbon on my tree, and I always have a toddler because I have 8 kids. And so every 2 years there's a new one. And so there's always a 2-year-old involved in some way. Yeah. And so
I this year was like, why do I put ribbon on the tree? Because every time somebody comes in, you know, you have it like arranged just so somebody, it just gets messed up so fast. And then my tree looks bad all Christmas. Like I go back in and put the ribbon back in. Like I am not doing that. Like this year I'm just doing lights and ornaments and just like simple ornaments. So that way if like two ornaments fall off, it still looks good. That way I don't have to like go fluff the tree every other day. Like that would be an example of one of those things you were saying where it actually doesn't bring joy. It kind of brings like a problem into your life.
Stress. Yeah. I find that honestly, a lot of real greenery does that too for me.
Same. I'm not doing it.
It's always,
nope, it's not happening this year.
Crumbling and attacking. And
every year I do that. And I'm like, I'm not doing it this year.
Yeah. It's overrated. And we have really good stuff now. And you know, one thing I noticed actually in the Little Women movie that we just watched was that they didn't do full size trees. And in particular, the March family, their tree was on a table, the tabletop tree. And I feel like that actually there's, I'm always like, have my finger in the wind, like what's going on with the trends. And as far as trends this year, I think we're going to see more tabletop trees, more handmade ornaments, and asymmetrical garlands are big.
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, tabletop is great with little kids, but
yeah, yeah.
But I like what you're saying with yours.
Yeah, the ribbon. Well, and this year I'm taking the ornament hooks and I'm wrapping it around the limb. So I'm like, that way they also can't really pull them off that easily. So I'm trying to make everything more secure because we do have a 2-year-old. He just turned 2 last month. And so he doesn't know. I mean, it's kind of worse when you have a 1-year-old, honestly. So it might be a better year than usual. But I think that that's kind of out for me for a while. Like the ribbon's real annoying. It's so beautiful. But I did the same thing with the garland going up the tree. Normally I tie ribbons and make like a big bow. And of course, kids come by and they get untied. So this year, instead, I tied the ribbon to the mantle or to the banister. And then I made a bow, like the top part with wire so that it can't just be untied. I'm like trying to think through, how am I going to actually enjoy this for the next 2 months and not just for like one day when it looks pretty?
1 hour.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk about natural skincare. As a lot of us are trying to clean out our houses, our diets, skincare is something that is also really important because our skin is our body's largest organ, and what goes on the skin does actually make its way in and affect our health. So it's important to choose quality, but one problem I've had over the years with natural skincare companies or DIYs, I've tried making my own lip balms, face serums, cleansers. They're great, but they don't have the same effectiveness as the drugstore or the department store brands that are full of chemicals and things I don't want in my body. Tubes & Co. is an organic skincare company. It's a small company that uses all natural ingredients. So for example, I have this tallow balm sitting here on my desk or my dresser, which is my desk for the day, that is made from grass-fed tallow, virgin olive oil, essential oils, and that's it. It's super luxurious on my skin. I love it during these colder months because my skin tends to dry out and look really lifeless, but this product really nourishes it and brings it back to life. I also love Tubes & Co. makeup. I currently have on the Tubes & Co. eyebrow pencil, which is my favorite thing, the primer, the foundation, the mascara, for a really simple, low makeup, but yet not just my bare splotchy face look. I love Tubes & Co. makeup. It doesn't feel like I'm buying a healthy brand. It feels like really nice makeup that also happens to have extremely clean ingredients. You can check out Tubes & Co. and use the code FARMHOUSE for 10% off over at tubesandco.com. That's T-O-U-P-S and co.com. Again, don't forget to use the code FARMHOUSE for 10% off your order.
Yeah, I feel like that actually is a really good lead into installation tips. So we have a good friend, Andrea, from the Pine and Prospect home. And I think that Andrea actually uses little nails with her garland, and just a teeny tiny little nail, it hammers it in and then fills the hole each year. So you could do that. But I do are command hooks.
was going to say, I just got command hooks this year. So this garland is very secure. Normally I kind of set it up there. And it, again, it's annoying. And this year I was at the store and I saw command hooks and I'm like, I'm going to buy these in bulk for everything.
Yeah. Good job. That's my number one thing I would recommend. And then I love do you use those plate hangers?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So they're from England. They're like yellow.
Yes. The glue stickers. On them. Mm-hmm.
You get them wet, stick them on, have a ring on them. And so, decorating with platters and plates is really beautiful. You can use those for artwork. I've used them for all kinds of things. They're made for plates. I had a gingerbread house doormat that I made one year. It was a Anthropology knockoff and it's on my blog, but I cut it and like painted it to make it look like a gingerbread house. And then I didn't want to step on it. So I put two of those plate hanger stickers on the back of them and I hung it on the wall as a wall decoration. So those are good. Fishing line. I use a lot of fishing line.
Oh, okay.
And the trick I'm seeing, like we already talked about using garlands and fluffing them up and then just augmenting them with all kinds of little greenery pieces. But another trick is to use chicken wire. And if you want it really huge, like some of these designs are like 18 inches high, you know, on a mantle. And people are using chicken wire that they're like crushing down and then using it like a flower frog and filling it in. That's a good tip. And then I always use wire cutters because greenery, a lot of times the stem is too long and there's a really big wire in that stem. And so I have to work on it and like cut into it and then bend it back and forth until it breaks off. And I do a lot of that. But yeah, I feel like you can get that. Those are the main things I would have in my little toolbox as I'm setting up.
Yeah. I think it makes sense to, like for me personally, sometimes I'm a lot of times in a hurry because I have such a short amount of time to work on things and I will do things fast and, but not necessarily always right. But then I pay for it the rest of the year, almost to the point where it'd be better to put up less decor, get it up really right so that I can actually enjoy it and not have people like going by it and knocking it down and having to throw it back up there the whole time. So I think that's something that I can personally learn from is just get stuff really secure because in a house with this many kids, I'm not going to enjoy it if it's not.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Okay. So somebody was asking about your inventory. I'm curious, do you just like label each bin, like say you label this bin one, and then on some kind of spreadsheet, right? Like bin one has, and then the list of all the things it has. Is that what you're doing with your inventory system?
That's what I'm doing. I mean, I just have a like pages document. It's just a list, but I can see
it. I mean, that doesn't sound that hard. Cause when you first said it, I'm like, well, I'm never going to be that organized. I'm like, wait a minute. That's not that hard. Like it, when you put it back in, it's not like that's going to take extra time.
No.
You're just going to type in, like, you know, it's not gonna be that big of a deal.
Yeah. Like, you know, the tin houses and the cream stockings and 5 plaid pillow covers. I mean, that's all it is. It's not super brilliant, but it works. And now, you know, I've set the system up years ago. And so I'm kind of learning it. Like bin number 9 is never completely full because I shop throughout the year. You can just find really great stuff thrifting. And end of the season. And so I'm always grabbing little things and sticking them in bin number 9. And I don't actually document those things. That's always kind of a fun surprise to open up. But
yeah,
but I know that bin number 1 is ornaments. And yeah, bin number 3 is the wreaths. So you kind of do learn even just through time.
Mm-hmm. I like that though, because I see cool things throughout the year that I think would be really beautiful at Christmas time. And I'd be really happy to own them right now. But because of my lack of organization, I don't grab them because I imagine like, what am I going to do when I get home with this? I have no place to put this and I'm never going to remember it exists by the time it's November. So I just pass on it, even though right now, you know, November Lisa would really appreciate if June Lisa would have thought that through.
Yeah,
that would really pay off. Yeah. Okay. So one of the questions we got a lot, and I have felt this before, how do you avoid Christmas clutter? So instead of it looking like beautiful and magical and yay. Being that kind of decor that you just cannot wait to take down. You decorated because you felt like you had to, because we all decorate for Christmas. It's what you do. Or maybe you're hosting or your kids want you to, but ultimately you hate it because it just feels clutter, like clutter.
Yeah. It's probably too much. I mean, if it feels like clutter, it probably is. One thing though, I think that people don't realize is that when you decorate for Christmas, your other decorations need to go into the bins. You're switching things out.
That was kind of something I just started thinking about too. Like, oh wait, she's probably moving all, like for every piece that comes in, you're taking something out.
You are. And mistake I've made in the past is I didn't remember the way my house is normally set up. And so now
but you're a YouTuber, so you can go back, because I do that. I go back and I watch and I'm like, oh yes.
How did I do our nightstand before Christmas?
Yes.
And then putting him in a place that you're going to be able to find it again. I actually did lose some things when I did my Thanksgiving decorations. I don't know which bins they're in. Because I have 9 for Christmas, but I also have some for Thanksgiving or, you know, fall, and I have some for spring. And so, yeah, some of my regular decorations just get shoved into those bins because it's not seasonal. So that's one thing, is truly trade things out. Like you said, if we're putting something on the coffee table, this tray with these magazines is going away until January. And then also, we were talking about creating a movie set, and just that, like, drops of that, you know, you're just making maple syrup. You don't need to all the tree sap, just the maple syrup, just that green and red somewhere will go a long way. So something on the coffee table, you know, something on the couch, something on the mantle, and you're done. And then, you know, there's a lot more to Christmas than just the decorating. So maybe turn down the lights and, you know, turn on the Christmas music and bake cookies. And those things also create ambience.
Right, right. Yeah, they do. And I do love things that can be consumed, like some kind of decoration that can either be composted or consumed, just because then it brings in that vibe, but then you don't have to inventory it, which I love your ideas of inventory. I think I could benefit a lot from that, but it's nice to throw a lot of those other types of things into. And the whole idea is you're creating this cozy environment that your family can enjoy and have memories around Christmas being a really wonderful time of year. So like you said, having something, the lights turn low, some candles flickering, and Christmas cookies baked with maybe like a wreath on the front door and a couple stockings hanging could be enough. Like that can make your kids think we decorated for Christmas. So if it does feel, or maybe your house is in a state of clutter right now that you feel like you need to get a handle on before you would decorate for Christmas, you don't feel like that's really going to happen in the next couple of weeks, then maybe just do a little bit. Like don't do the whole thing.
Yeah, that's good. You just, we're all in different places. Each year is different where your family's at. And so don't feel guilty or stressed about what has to be done. I think that we have to be real careful. Keep an eye on that.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Do you take a couple of weeks off YouTube in December?
Yeah. And my whole team does. So the week after Christmas, I'll probably go in radio silent. I mean, anything that's popping up is probably something pre-scheduled. And everybody is home with their families. And not only is it family time, but for me, it's dreaming time. You know, I pull up all year long, I'm thinking of ideas for the business, for goals. And I just have a running list of ideas. And I'm not going to get it all done. But it's really fun to sit down with that list. And I'll pray over it. I'll look over the finances and all, you know, just mapping out the goals for the year. I love doing that. And thinking about each person on my team, like, are they in the best spot for them? Are they really thriving? And so that is, I am working, I guess, but it's just a different kind of week. It's at least a week, sometimes 2 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually thinking about doing that. I have never done that. I'm like, I think I might take a couple of weeks off in December. Like, not that, I mean, honestly, in some ways, my job's not really that intense. I don't spend, you know, that many hours on it every single day, but mentally it's going, right? Like it's going in our brains.
It's always there.
Yeah. So it's, you know, I don't want to act like, oh, it's so hard, I'm going to take time off. But in some ways, like, it'd be nice just to like, I'm just going to not even think about it for a couple of weeks at all, even though I love it. Like, that's my personality. But I think that that would be just a neat thing to like, maybe a tradition to have in December.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it doesn't, I think a lot of times as business owners, we get nervous that I got to keep, you know, all the balls in the air. I have to keep juggling everything or I'm going to get behind. And it doesn't always mean that. I mean, the week after Christmas, a lot of people are not on social media. A lot of people are traveling and resting and recovering. Yeah. And so it's not like the crowd's even going to be there. So why don't you go rest?
Right. Well, that's a good point. Yeah. Some creators do that Vlogmas and I'm like, wow, like you are a hard worker is all I can say. Cause that would be so hard.
Is that where they do like Christmas?
Yeah. Eve? And like Vlogmas, I think it's where you vlog every single day in December.
Oh,
which would like, that would be hard. That'd be intense. That'd be intense.
Yeah. I'm not probably going to do that one.
Next year. Maybe next year. Well, that's awesome. Actually, this is my last recording for the year because we recorded like so much in advance that, yeah, this is my last recording for the year. So I'm like, I think I can do this. Not YouTube, just the podcast.
How many times do you post a podcast?
Once a week.
Each week?
Once a week for the podcast, once a week for YouTube.
Okay, yeah.
So
nice.
Okay. Well, tell everybody where they can find you and follow along with more design tips all throughout the year, not just Christmas, potentially, you know, getting on your big event next September, but just follow along with you.
Yes. Okay. So my company is called She Holds Dearly. It started as a blog and then morphed into YouTube and, you know, all the social media platforms. And so sheholdsdearly.com. And She Holds Dearly on Instagram, She Holds Dearly on YouTube. And then what I really learned is that I love teaching women how to do things because I am a trained interior designer. I went to school in London and 20 years ago. And I feel like there's this gap between good design and the DIYer girl that wants to do good design, but doesn't understand there's a lot of formulas and logistics.
Right.
And really technical things to know. And they make it a lot easier if you know them. And so I actually have a whole interior design school called Elite Decorating Academy. I opened it earlier this year. And then we have that behind the scenes group that is, I feel like you find your tribe, and maybe that like that phrase is overused, but I really struggle to find people who understand why I love interior design. And I often feel very misunderstood in just, I don't know, family and different circles in my life. And so to be in a group where everybody gets it and we all want to grow together and we feel like called to do this for our families. And that's so good. I love my behind the scenes group so much. And then, of course, we're doing just one right now. I've got other ideas of how to do design retreats, but the one in Virginia, Orange, Virginia, is the one that we have on the books for sure for 2024. So yeah, all that's on my website. And yeah, you're welcome to join me there if this is your thing.
Okay, over at shieldsdearly.com. That's awesome. I agree. I think that also design seems like something that's just for people who are really rich and have a mansion. It doesn't really seem approachable for an everyday homemaker. And so I like that it seems like you're bridging that gap too, and just teaching people from a more, you know, this is something that anybody can do on any budget.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, that'll all be linked down in the show notes or the description box, depending on where you're getting this podcast. So thank you so much, Sarah, for joining us.
Thank you, Lisa. It was my honor.
Right. Well, I hope that you enjoyed this episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast, and I will see you in the next one.